No, I'm all doom and gloom, sorry. There are, of course, theoretical possibilities, models for Europe to get out of its present state of disarray. But I think they are not applicable anymore. The context under the constraints that exist now and in the coming years. Perhaps Europe had at some point, but we can't go into this now, a better chance to set up something more forceful politically above all. Instead, it has only pushed the economic side of the integration, the economic and monetary integration.
Excuse me, I want to interrupt you one moment, because we don't have to go too far in European questions, because and to center on the relations between the European attitude, what you have done in your paper, and what is the topic of the tribune. Thank you.
Yeah. But a main point is that the expanding, widening Europe now that we go from in 2 weeks or so from now, from 15 to 25, will be far more heterogeneous. The centrifugal forces will be strengthened, not the centrifugal. That's, by the way, what many people, or an increasing number of countries, want, also those who are already in, in fact, all the new ones, and some stated that publicly. Poland doesn't want, for example, as Miller said that he has gone, but that's a general feeling in Poland, in the other of the new countries. They don't want a strong, politically strong Europe, and this goes for the Scandinavian countries and for most of, anyway, those that join the core of the EU countries. Okay, that would lead us into a long debate. Can I leave it to this then? Otherwise, the chairman, it's very late, I realize this. It's almost 7 and we should all be out of the room already. The neocons losing steam. That's Eikenberry's idea. I'm not sure about find arguments for this. The same debate is raging about the future of U.S. power. I had a debate recently in foreign policy, I don't know if you have seen, with my very good friend Emmanuel Feierstein, who is arguing that the United States, or that was 2 years ago and he wrote this, would decline, fatally decline and irremediably decline and perhaps even break down in the main items of its power by the year 2010 or so. Where, as I was arguing that just the opposite was true, that U.S. power will grow, become more overwhelming in all respects, in all the domains. But perhaps he's true, and I'm completely wrong. So the neocons, they may have a very good future. But also, if one looks at the history of foreign policy attitudes and behavior of the United States, one has to be very cautious. I mean, all this is well known, this kind of cyclical movement, moving from a more isolationist to a more interventionist position and back. So, we should be very, very careful when we are making guesses or forecasts in this field, because we may be totally wrong, even if we think we have very good indicators that we can extrapolate and parameters. So let's be modest in this. Is that enough? I'm sorry, but the chairman is impatient. You should not have put me as the last so late this evening, François. You can only do this with a good friend.
No, we still have a few minutes, no problem. Do the defense have any question? Oh, excuse me, Jean.
I have a good news for you. I will not ask any question.
The defense agrees completely with what I said. So. I'm sorry, did we agree? I'm sure you agreed with everything I said, so you don't have to put pressure.
Well,
oh,
well.
I think of the chairman, not of me. Please save me, I'm in bad shape.
Okay. I do take as my role of defending the neocons and of the categorization of conservatives and neoconservatives sharing certain values and particularly around a special mission. That I don't think is true, and that the neoconservatives would take exception to that given the debate and the critique in the United States from traditional conservatives of that the neoconservatives are imperialist and have because of the special mission, and that that indeed, as was pointed out in previous testimony, that it's the neoconservatives are much closer to the liberals and progressives and in that respect and sharing a special mission. I want to ask you about the characterization of John Ickenberry, and I think it goes to the heart of some of the questions that we're talking about in terms of Pax Americana, that you say that he cannot be suspected of any leftist leanings. That took me by surprise, that indeed John Ickenberry has been one of the leading thinkers in terms of defining American hegemony within a system of international law, within a system of multilateralism that would both serve U.S. economic interests and global peace. Would you disagree with that?
I mean, from my point of view, John Ickenberry is not a representative of the right, unless he has changed dramatically in recent years. Some of us changed. I have also changed, by the way. People who knew me 20 years ago knew different kind of men or think or whatever. But this article was also published in Survival, which is the magazine of the ISS, which is, of course, a very conservative international think tank, one might call it like this, responding to, above all, American strategic preferences. So they would never publish a leftist article in their magazine or other reviews. But perhaps he just wanted to provoke a debate. It might be very smart to talk about the end of something. That sells well, the end of history, the end of many things. And it launches, triggers a debate, and that might have been. By the way, if you read his article, it's not so clear that he really thinks that the neoconservatives are only beyond their apogee. And he also is not clear about what neoconservative means in this article. So he's switching from one term to another. He talks about fundamentalists or new fundamentalists instead of neoconservative in this article. So this also shows how uncertain the water is in which we are moving, or uncertain the ground on which we are moving when we talk about these basic terms that we are using so prominently during these two or three days here. So it's a bit elusive and a bit.
Well, again, speaking as in the position of a neoconservative, I agree certainly that the definition of a neoconservative needs to be better defined, particularly in light of the speculation that the neoconservatives may be facing their demise. That observation has been made numerous times in the past 2 decades. And so that one would need to be careful about making it now. And in making that evaluation, we should be aware that the neoconservatives do not just have an international agenda, that they've been very influential in shaping a domestic agenda in the United States as well, and have rallied around that their agendas and ideologies in numerous sectors of the American public. So it's very likely that we will manifestations of a neoconservative agenda in the future, and I think that the observation of liberal hawks, the description of liberal hawks, is an illustration to the degree that the neoconservative ideology has influenced other parts of the political spectrum in the United States.
Yeah, it's also conceivable that sooner or later, perhaps quite soon already, the United States is returning. We cannot exclude this possibility to more traditional, in a sense, conceptions of balance of power, for example. That in the light of the Iraq experience, the pendulum might swing back rather mightily. We cannot exclude this. I mean, I was a bit polemical in my statements here, but if I would talk purely as a political scientist, as a scholar looking at the history of American diplomacy, of course I can't exclude at least that this possibility.
Is there any
one final question?
Yes.
Observation. You say that that neocons are, and I think you said it several times, neocons are bent on creating a highly stratified power system. That I don't find that stated that way in the agendas and documents of the Project of the New American Century. What it's stated is conversely that the United States is the supreme power, and that we need to develop a foreign policy, a military policy, an economic policy that goes along with that supremacy. We don't need to create it. We have it. We need to maintain it. Or would you disagree with that?
That's
Jim
not a deduction I make from the general basic foreign policy beliefs, that they perhaps want a more rigid, hierarchical international system where each actor has a well-defined place and role. So that. But again, perhaps, interpretation.